Keep up to date with the past on the 100 Years Ago Show with Mark Stein.
A fascist goes dueling, manifest destiny underwater, and a female barrister? Objection, my lord. It's May 1922.
100 years from today.
News update, the messy aftermath of the Great War continues. Under the Treaty of Versailles, Germany is obligated to hand over its Zeppelins to the Allies. Instead, it has destroyed them. The Conference of Ambassadors, that's the British, Italian and Japanese diplomats in Paris, plus the French Foreign Minister, has now ordered Berlin to pay 9 million marks in compensation. The German-Polish Convention on Upper Silesia has been signed in Geneva. Following last year's plebiscite, the former Prussian province will be divided along ethnic lines, and in the next few weeks, 41% of it will become part of Poland. The Greco-Turkish War continues to royal politics in Athens and Parliament. The Prime Minister, Dimitrios Gounaris, won a vote of confidence by just 161 to 160. That's enough, but not for Mr. Gounaris. He and his cabinet have resigned, and the King has asked Petros Protopapadakis to form a new ministry. As a practical matter, political fates are being determined on distant battlefields. In the mood for something stronger than votes of confidence?
He shall die. He shall die. He shall die for the eyesight. He shall die. He shall die. He shall die. For I'll raise a bunion on his Spanish onion if I catch him bending tonight.
Actually, I'll raise a bunion on his Italian onion. In Milan, Benito Mussolini, editor of the Popolo d'Italia newspaper and leader of the rising political movement, the Fascisti, is fed up with his party's coverage in the Secolo newspaper of Turin. So he challenged that paper's editor, Mario Misseroli, to a duel by sword. After seven assaults lasting 40 minutes, Professor Mussolini was declared the victor over Signor Misseroli. The duelists refused a reconciliation after their sword fight. The fascist leader bears over 100 scars from previous duels. The Council of the League of Nations has agreed to assume a protectorate over Albania after the government of the domestically preoccupied Balkan nation requested that the League take over responsibility for its international affairs. The League's Council has also voted to approve the jurisdiction of the Court of International Justice over additional members, including Russia, Germany, Turkey, Hungary, and Mexico. Today's decision by the Council, says the New York Times, gives the court truly world jurisdiction for the first time.
Angel child, oh baby, I'm just wild about you. Angel child, sweet mama, say that you love me too. In your arms forever I stay. You drive away. Jerusalem's gray when you smile. Oh Henrietta, I'm in heaven, it's true. But oh, lonesome do. Angel of toil, I'm just putting in miles when I say that I'm wild about you.
Those angelic children. They're even more angelic when they're working 10-hour shifts in the factory. In Bailey versus Drexel Furniture Company, the U.S. Supreme Court has struck down as unconstitutional the child labor tax law of 1919. That statute imposes a 10% tax on the profits of any company that employs children. The court's view is that that is not a legitimate tax, but a criminal penalty masquerading as a tax, and therefore it cannot stand. In Hill versus Wallace, the court has voided the Futures Trading Act, passed just last year, and designed to federalize grain futures by imposing a prohibitive tax on any contracts traded on futures markets not regulated by the Secretary of Agriculture. The court has ruled this is an unconstitutional abuse of Congress's taxing power.
I love like
Not only neath the South Sea moon, but neath the South Sea, at least at high tide. But could this newest U.S. territory one day join the ranks of Pennsylvania and Virginia as an American state? Washington has annexed the Kingman Reef in the South Pacific Ocean. The reef itself has an area of just under 7 square miles, but more than 98% of it is submerged at high tide. Nevertheless, Uncle Sam regards it as desirable real estate. Mr. Lauren Thurston, an agent of the Palmyra Copra Company, raised the stars and stripes at low tide and read a proclamation as follows. Be it known to all people that on the 10th of May, A.D. 1922, the undersigned agent of the island of Palmyra Copra Company Limited landed from the motor ship Palmyra, doth on this 10th day of May, A.D. 1922, take formal possession of this island called Kingman Reef, situated in longitude 162 degrees 18 west and 6 degrees 23 north on behalf of the United States of America. He then claimed exclusive rights for the company for its use, acting under the authority of the Guano Islands Act of 1856. There does not appear to be any guano on the Kingman Reef. The 62-year-old Lackawanna Steel Company was at one time the second largest steel producer in the world, but it has run into difficulties, and the Bethlehem Steel Company intends to purchase it.
In Chicago, Chicago, that toddly town, that toddly town. Chicago, Chicago, I'll show you around. I love it, that's your bottom dollar, you lose the blues in Chicago.
Bet your bottom dollar you'll lose your life in Chicago. Following the fatal shooting of two policemen, the Chicago cops have raided multiple union halls in the city and arrested over 200 officials, including the mob boss, Big Tim Murphy, Teamsters founder, Cornelius Shea, and Frenchie Maeder, president of the Chicago Building and Construction Trades Council. 19 Texans are dead after the collapse of a bridge on the Brazos River between the towns of Marlin and Belton. 30 people had gathered on the bridge to watch raging floodwaters below when its west end gave way and plunged them into the river.
By the sea,
by the sea,
by the beautiful sea.
Highland Beach is an exclusive resort community for wealthy Negroes from Washington and Baltimore who enjoy summering on the Chesapeake Bay. Mr. Haley Douglas, grandson of Frederick Douglas, has now incorporated it as the first Negro municipality in Maryland and will serve as the new town's first mayor. Is prohibition going global? The government of Sweden has announced that it will hold a referendum on whether or not to prohibit the sale of alcohol. And the government of Austria has passed a law forbidding the sale of alcohol to minors. Can a woman practice law? Well, following the Sex Disqualification Removal Act of 1919, Ivy Williams, the daughter of a Devon solicitor, joined the Inner Temple as a student and is now the first woman in the British Isles to be called to the bar. Somewhat to the bewilderment of London court outfitters, she is being fitted for her robes and wig. What woman would not want to be the consort of screen lover Rudolph Valentino? The actual Mrs. Valentino, Jean Acker, obtained a judgment of divorce in California, and that prompted the picture star to head south with the art director of his film Camille, Winifred Hudnett. They were married in Mexicali. Nevertheless, upon their return to the United States, Valentino was immediately arrested for bigamy. California law requires parties to wait 1 year after a divorce decree before remarrying.
Love her by radio. You will find it radio.
You can now love her by radio in South Dakota, in Rapid City. The South Dakota School of Mines is operating the state's first licensed radio station, WCAT, which means Wildcat Radio. You can also love her by radio in Hawaii. KGU in Honolulu is officially the state's first radio station, having beaten rival station KDYX onto the airwaves by 15 minutes. A few years ago, the Australian soprano Elsie Fisher took the stage name Elsie-stralia in honour of her native land, Australia. Last year, another soprano, Florence Wilson, did likewise and became Florence Austrail. Miss Austrail has just made her debut at Covent Garden as Brunhilde in Wagner's opera Die Walküre. Her acting did not impress, but what a voice. More music. Two new works by the French composer Gabriel Fauré have been premiered in Paris at the Société Nationale de Musique. First on the bill was a second cello sonata based on the funeral march composed by Fauré last year to mark the centennial of the death of Napoleon. Next up was L'Horizon Chimérique, a four-act song cycle. In sports news, in Spain's Copa del Rey final, Barcelona easily beat Real Unión 5-1. Boxing news, well, it wasn't much of a fight, not for the 16,000 paying customers. But in London, Georges Carpentier knocked out Ted Kidd Lewis in the first round and thereby retained the world light heavyweight title. The Kid spent the first 2 minutes pummeling the Frenchman until the referee laid a hand on the Englishman's shoulder to warn him against holding. Monsieur Carpentier seized his opportunity and delivered a sharp right hook to the distracted Kid, who fell to the canvas. He then sat up with a glazed look in his eyes as the ref counted to 10. The furious Olympia crowd yelled foul, but to no avail. After 2.25 minutes, it was all over. For the second time, the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness Stakes have been run on the same day, forcing racehorses, or their masters, to choose between them. Pillory won the Preakness, and Morvich became the first Californian horse to win the Kentucky Derby. The world's largest ship, the White Star Liner RMS Majestic, has completed its maiden voyage, reaching New York Harbor from Southampton in 5 days, 14 hours, 45 minutes. If you know your large ocean-going vessels, you'll recall that the Majestic was actually launched in Germany as the Hamburg America liner SS Bismarck way back in 1914. But then came the war, and it has taken 8 years and a change of ownership to get the former Bismarck across the Atlantic.
Wait till you get them up in the air, boys. Wait till you get them up in the air.
Flying isn't any easier, not in the South Atlantic. In their attempt to make the first aerial crossing, Portuguese aviators Gago Coutinho and Sacadura Cabral tried to resume their Portugal to Brazil flight by returning to the point where their original Fairey 3 seaplane, the Lusitania, had been wrecked last month, departing in a replacement Fairey 3, the Patria, from the island of Fernando de Noronha toward the St. Paul Rocks, an island in the St. Peter and St. Paul archipelago. The aviators ran into trouble again and ditched in the ocean. They then drifted until they were rescued by a British steamship, the Paris City. If the Portuguese are having a tough time getting across the ocean, what chance does a platypus have? Nevertheless, the enterprising Australian naturalists Ellis Joseph and Henry Burrell have made a lot of money capturing live Antipodean animals and selling them to zoos around the world. They have now set out from Sydney on the steamer the USS West Henshaw with five platypuses, platypi, on a voyage to bring the first platypus to the United States. The Al G. Barnes Circus boasts the largest elephant ever in captivity. That would be Tusco, who also has a reputation as the meanest elephant in captivity. The circus was playing the small logging town of Cedro Woolley in Washington State, and Tusco was briefly not in captivity at all. About an hour before the show, he escaped and went on a rampage through the town, knocking down telegraph poles, uprooting trees, demolishing fences, and wrecking at least one Model T. Damage is estimated at approximately $20,000. Lieutenant Commander John Martin Poyo was governor of American Samoa during the late war. He is the man who took the decision upon the outbreak of the Spanish flu to quarantine the territory to prevent it getting in. This roused the fury of Robert Logan, the New Zealand commander leading the British occupation of German Samoa. But the contrasting approaches speak for themselves. Under its New Zealand commander, German Samoa saw over 7,500 deaths. Under Commander Poyo, American Samoa was one of the few places on Earth where not a single person died of the Spanish flu. John Martin Poyo is dead at 60. Across four decades, Leslie Ward painted 1,325 cartoon portraits for the London weekly Vanity Fair under the nom de crayon Spy. Taken as a whole, it is perhaps a perfect visual record of the late Victorian and Edwardian era's most prominent individuals. After a nervous breakdown and a massive heart attack, Sir Leslie is dead at 70. Rudolf Graf Montecuccoli was head of the Austro-Hungarian Navy for the decade before the war and is generally credited with the effective modernization of the Habsburg fleet. He lived long enough to see the empire he served reduced to two landlocked statelets and all the ships of its navy parceled off to its enemies. Count Montecuccoli is dead at 79. Eugenie Blair created the role of Marthy Owen, the waterfront woman in the play Anna Christie by Eugene O'Neill. She loved the part and after the Broadway run was delighted to be able to play it across the country. At the Court Theatre in Chicago, after delivering her lines at the beginning of the play, Miss Blair complained of a terrible headache and the star, Pauline Lord, offered to call a doctor and send on the understudy. The doughty trooper refused to hear of such a thing and insisted on going back on stage for her second and last scene. She delivered her lines with her face twitching in pain. Miss Blair then returned to her dressing room, sat down in a chair, called for a glass of water and promptly expired. Pauline Lord and the rest of the cast went on with the play, unaware of their comrade's death. Eugenie Blair was 50. And that's the way of the world, May 1922.
100 years from today, 100 years from today.
The 100 Years Ago Show is a production of Markstein Enterprises and O'Kill Media. All rights reserved.